Good morning. Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the associate pastor of students and families here, and we are so pleased that you have joined us for worship this morning. Although I have a sneaking suspicion that you're more here for a wedding than you are maybe for worship this morning, but they are one and the same thing. We are glad that you are here. Many of you are guests this morning. We are excited that you have joined us this morning. We have something that we like for everyone to do. There are pew pads on every pew, and we invite you to take those. This is an opportunity for you to let us know that you were here. Whether you're a member or a guest, we invite you to take that pad and fill that out. Put your name, and especially the guests, we invite you to put your name, your address, phone, and email. So that we can be able to get in touch with you and then check the appropriate boxes. That would be great. And we ask for the members. We ask that you fill that out as well. Just put your name and any changes that you might need to inform the church office of. This allows us to get to know you a little bit better and update our information. When it gets to the end of the pew, we invite you to send it back. And we especially ask our members to take a look at any guests that you have on your pew and sneak a peek and find out who's there in worship that you may not know, and introduce yourself after worship. This is a great way to find out who's worshiping together today. Several announcements I'll make as we get started. Reminder to our children, our grade school children, we are headed to children's celebration today, and we will leave during hymn number 61. That's the second hymn later in the service after the pastoral prayer. So we want you to come right out these doors, and we're headed to our fellowship hall, which is behind me and to the right, and the children will be able to be picked up right after worship there. That's right after we will stay in there for the morning worship service and have our own time of worship together. If you hadn't known, we are having spring fling this afternoon. It's one of the many inserts that you have in your bulletin this morning. Spring fling, it is raining. Usually April is when the showers come and, you know, May flowers, but today it is raining. But we are going to go ahead and do the spring fling. We're having the inflatable games. We're having the, we were going to do a pony ride, but pony and Smith Hall may not go together very well. So we're going to see what happens with that. But we are going to have the inflatable games. We invite you. This is an opportunity for you to bring a picnic. We're going to picnic in Smith Hall. We want you also to bring any kind of board games and kind of cards. We're going to have music going. There'll be a concert in Smith Hall and the inflatable games and lots of things happening. We were going to do horseshoes, but that may be a little dangerous inside as well. So we'll find out. We want you to come and just be together as a church. That starts at 4:00 this afternoon. We invite anybody who can help us set up to be here at 2:30. We don't need near as much help if we were setting up outside, but we do need some help moving some things around in Smith Hall. So if you could be here at 2:30 for our setup time, that would be excellent. Our family enrichment committee has worked very hard to make this event happen, and we just want you to come and have a good afternoon. We'll provide the desserts, and we'll provide the drinks. So you provide the picnic food, and we'll provide everything else. And then we want you to stay for our life service. That is our contemporary service. Happens every Sunday evening. That will happen tonight in Smith Hall. And so we hope that you can come and be a part of that service starting at 7:00. Want to say a big thank you to all of you who provided snacks for our college students. This past week, I traveled around to many of our college campuses in North Carolina and saw many of our college students. I think they're more excited to see the goodies than they are me, but they were excited nonetheless. They had lots of homemade things and lots of store-bought. We're very grateful for those exam packs, and they were the sugar fix was just right for exam time, so we're very grateful for that. Regular things going on this afternoon and this week. One thing I would make note for you is this Friday evening, May the 12th, we're having a series, a study time on the Da Vinci Code. Many of you know about the book. Many of you read the book, and sometimes that causes some questions to come up. And we're going to spend some time this Friday evening talking about those. And we have some special guests that are coming to be a part of that service. So we hope that time of study. So we hope that you can be a part of that as well. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. You have already told us a little bit about you. You filled out those pew pads, and we appreciate you doing that. But we have something we want to give you that tells you a little bit about us. We have ushers coming down the aisles now. We invite you just to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning. And the ushers would like to give you this packet of information. Inside the packet of information is just tells you a little bit about the story of College Park, what we believe in, what we treasure, and the things that we do. Inside the packet is also a newsletter that tells you things going on currently in the life of our church. And so we hope that you take this gift and it gives you a little bit of information about who College Park is. It is time for us to begin our time of worship together, to join our hearts in the worship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So we hope that this time of worship will be a special blessing to you. And we invite you to stand now for our invitation to share in worship. You will see it printed there in your bulletin. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh.
Awaken your might, come and save us.
Restore us, O God.
May your face shine upon us, that we may be saved.
You may be seated.
Joy is like the rain.
Doesn't that just make you feel good? Man, we thank the children. Will you pray with me? Father, on this rainy Sunday, there is nothing that can get us down when we are in your presence. For it is the joy that we feel when we come into worship to know that we are here today, gathering our hearts together to worship your name. For Father, when you are in our lives, every day is bright. Even days when we have challenges and hard days, we know that we can come into your presence. And there is a stillness in our hearts, a confidence in our souls that sustains us. We see it in the smiles of the children. We hear it in their laughter. We see it in your scripture, and we hear it in the prayers. We know that you are alive and you are well. And so we come today to worship. We come to sing you praises and to glorify your name. Let everything that is done this day be done for you. For worship is not about us. It is about you. So let everything that is said, everything that is sung, everything that is done, let it be done for you. And then we will know we have worshiped. For we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
We share the ministry of God's Word through His Holy Scripture, beginning first in the book of Acts from the New Testament, chapter 4 in Acts, verses 5 through 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And from 1 John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is then how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, speaking peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. Like the falling rain from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, falling on us from on high. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, speaking peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. See the fruitful fields are growing, blessed fruits of righteousness, and the streams of life are flowing in the lonely wilderness. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, speaking peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a peaceful habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, speaking peace to me, how the billows cease to roll.
Would you pray with me? And Father, in this blessed quietness, we come together and we join our hearts and we focus on you. Father, we ask you to make yourself real to us. Father, show us those places in our heart, those dark spots that we want to hide from everyone. We know we can't hide them from you, and we pray now that you would touch those places. Lead us to confession. Because, Father, we know that we are unworthy, made only acceptable through the gift of Jesus Christ. As we join our hearts in prayer, we know that there are many needs, so many needs that at times it may seem overwhelming. But Father, we know that you're in control and we trust you with that. And for the special needs that we have heard vocalized in many of our classes as we met for Bible study this morning, we pray for all of those that have been vocalized as well as those who are on our hearts and minds that maybe we haven't spoken. But we pray in each situation, Father, that you would be Lord, that you would be the kind shepherd. For Ethelie Martin, we pray especially this morning, Father, as she is undergoing surgery, that you would be with her. Let her know of your assurance, that you're there with her. Be with those who will be performing the surgery as well as those that will be assisting her in the hours to come. We pray for Mary Lee Colpitz. We pray for Ralph Means as they've experienced a great deal of trauma through falls. Father, we pray that you would be with them and help their body to recover quickly. For all others who have had traumatic weeks, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we pray for healing. That in your way, you would reach and touch and heal. Father, help us to be instruments of peace, instruments of healing as we touch the lives of those who are hurting this week. And we'll recognize you as the source, the power, and the strength. For it's in the name of our precious Savior we ask. Amen.
Thank you. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank you for all your many, many blessings, too numerous to count. We thank you for the gift of music that Susan has shared with us today, and we appreciate her sharing her time and talent with us, and we wish her safe travel. Please be with her as she heads down the road. We have special blessings today on Vicki and Dennis in the ceremony that'll follow. We have special blessings for those among us who are dealing with health issues and receive bad reports this week. Now, dear Lord, please accept these modest gifts. Please bless the gift and the giver. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and through him give us peace. Amen.
but only darkness heard my plea. Then the kind and gentle shepherd left the 99 and came walking through the stormy nights, searching for me. My shepherd's hand reached way down for this lost lamb, restored my soul into his fold, cleansed and made me whole. Now I hear his voice, it is my choice to follow his command. For I am gently led and daily fed by my shepherd's hand. His goodness and his mercy will always follow me beside still waters and in green pastures. He supplies my every need, and even through the valley of shadows, I'm not afraid of sinking sand, for I will never perish. With eternal life I stand, sheltered securely within my shepherd's hand. My shepherd's hand reached way down for this lost lamb, restored my soul into his fold, cleansed and made me whole. Now I hear his voice, it is my choice to follow his command. For I am gently led and daily fed by my shepherd's hand. Ooh, oh, for I am gently led and daily fed by my shepherd's hand.
As we go to God's Word, I invite you to take out your Bible. I'll be reading from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I think when I was typing the order of service, my finger stuttered because I'm actually begin reading in verse 1. It says 11, but we'll be reading from verse 1 through 18 in John chapter 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was trying to tell them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. I don't know if you've ever seen the dance of creation. No, it's not a new movie or a political talk show. The dance of creation is witnessed whenever you may go to some place like SeaWorld. And you see five or six killer whales who are out there frolicking in the water, doing circles, jumping, spewing water. They're playing. The dance of creation. You may see the dance of creation as you see birds in your yard. Maybe as they approach the bird bath, they begin splashing around, enjoying themselves, playing. Or as they, with the light, zoom in on the bird feeder. Perhaps you experience the dance of creation if you've been in Cade's Cove near Gatlinburg, as you saw the baby bear cubs climb up in the trees and play together. Perhaps you've seen squirrels on the side of the church here in the trees, playing, running, chattering at one another, meaning no harm to themselves or anyone else. The dance of creation. I think we see the dance of creation as we drive by Polo Park, and we see children there playing, laughing, no cares in the world. I think the dance of creation is possible for us as adults when we let down our defenses and we truly enjoy the company of all of creation as we celebrate everything that the Good Shepherd has given to us. You see, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it to the full, as the NIV says, or other translations that perhaps you memorized, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It doesn't mean on a diet, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Exclamation point. There should be an exclamation there. I know they don't put those in, but there should be an exclamation, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That is what he desires for us. I have to smile as I recall the Hebrew writers as they describe the playfulness of the sea monster named Leviathan. I move to the core of my very being as I recall the writings, the vision of the prophets, the vision that they received of people beating their swords into plowshares and studying war no more, while animals that normally attack and kill each other lie down side by side, peacefully. I was recalling a painting that I had seen years ago, and it took some research this week. I knew that the gentleman's name who had painted it, his last name was Hicks. And I finally discovered it was by a gentleman named Edward Hicks. And you may have seen this at some point. I know you can't see it from there, but this was what I found on the internet. It's called The Peaceable Kingdom, and it depicts animals and humans together, peacefully, all of creation peacefully existing. The imagery of creation at ease and at peace. So how can that be? How can that be? We look around us and we say, how in the world can that be? I think it's only possible when we recognize Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So what's so special about Jesus as the Good Shepherd? Well, let's first look at the sheep. You may have heard me say before, and I say it again, many theologians, and I have read it time and time again in sermons and heard it, talk about how dumb sheep are. Well, that's really not complimentary to us if you think about it, because Jesus called us his sheep. And if you ask an animal husbandry major, they will tell you that sheep are not dumb. They're misunderstood. Sheep are not dumb. It is a part of their nature to follow. They're peaceful creatures. They're misunderstood because they follow obediently and without question. Sheep. Sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and they follow. What does the shepherd do? Scripture tells us that the shepherd leads, and the sheep follow. Scripture tells us that the shepherd cares for the sheep. If you'll recall the imagery from Psalm 23, the shepherd leads them to green pastures. Why? To gain nurture. He leads them beside quiet waters, still waters. Why? To drink, to gain nourishment. But this passage that we've read talks about how the shepherd protects the sheep. One of the strangest images that I see of shepherds occurs many times in literature and in art. And it depicts a shepherd as this frail, feminine, tiny boy out in the field keeping watch over the flocks by night, if you will. And it doesn't work for me. It's dramatically out of place when you consider one of the primary jobs, one of the primary tasks of a shepherd was to protect the sheep from animals, from predators, from those that would come to steal or to kill or to destroy. So the little gentle, meek, mild shepherd imagery just doesn't get it for me. I don't see that. I think of David, one of the most prominent shepherds that we have in the Bible. Think about David. Do you see him as a frail, weak child protecting the sheep? I don't think so. He was one of the greatest conquering kings in history. I think of Jesus, the ultimate biblical shepherd. Do you see him as a frail person? Sorry. He hung out with fishermen. He was a carpenter's son. He did manual labor. He was gentle of spirit, but he was no weakling. He said, "I am going to lay down my life in defense of my sheep." Look further, in verse 16. Not only is he going to lay down his life in defense of sheep, but he gives us another word. He says, "I have other sheep that are not yet of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Here's the point. He's talking about other sheep that will soon come to know him and soon come to be a part of the flock. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd leads the flock. The shepherd cares for the flock. So what is the responsibility of the sheep? To follow. To follow our shepherd. To live life and live it abundantly. And to multiply. There are other sheep that need to hear the voice. Sheep begat sheep. Shepherds do not begat sheep. unless something very strange is going on. Sheep begat sheep. So it is our job. It is our job to multiply. Shepherds also buy the sheep for a price. And Jesus has paid that price. In verse 15 again, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We were bought with a price, and Jesus has paid that price. He willingly lays down his life for the sheep. I think our final point for notice this morning, we'll resume this discussion tonight at Life. But our final point for this morning is that true shepherds do not run at the first sign of trouble. In verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. You see, we serve an awesome shepherd. We follow an awesome shepherd who will not leave us or forsake us, no matter how frightening the circumstances may appear, no matter how much the enemy may roar, the shepherd will not forsake his sheep. He will be there leading us, protecting us. So I see Jesus through the eyes of the gospel writer John. I see Jesus, the good shepherd, a metaphorical alias, if you will, for the Prince of Peace, which of course is another metaphor for the Christ, the Messiah, the revelation of God to man. Thinking of God as our loving shepherd sets imagery in our minds because we've heard it so much. Again, the green pastures, peaceful, the quiet waters, the goodness and mercy, and even a valley of death where we can see light. The good shepherd sees that every member of the flock is in the fold. The good shepherd makes sure that we are protected. The good shepherd makes sure that we are secure, that we're comfortable, that we're peaceful. So those promises, those images should make our hearts rejoice. They should literally make us scream life abundantly. That's been given to us from the risen one, the good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the one who has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we ask for your forgiveness when we desire to lead our own life. And we pray for your loving correction as we seek to follow you more closely. Father, we understand that you are our shepherd. Give us the courage, give us the humility, give us the strength to forsake all else and follow you. Because we know that your good hand guides us and protects us. Father, we ask now that as we go into a time of response, that you would touch our hearts. Help us to see at what point we need to turn our life completely over to you. To surrender those things that we hold on to and try to control for ourselves. Father, help us to be as the sheep are. Without question, following you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning you may be here and you're not a Christian. You don't understand what I've been talking about. I would love to share with you about the person and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to do that as we stand and sing. I'll also be glad to share with you perhaps sometime today, later this afternoon. Give me a phone call. I'll be glad to meet you and talk with you about that. Perhaps you're here and you have not completely surrendered. Maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ, but there's parts of your life that you've not made him Lord over. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. Just pray and ask God to forgive you from that, and you release those things to him. Make him Lord of all. Perhaps you're here and you would like to join this congregation. We would love to receive you. We have many ways that we receive members, and we'd be glad to receive you as well. be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision may be, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together our hymn of response. If you would please be seated for just a moment. I'd like to introduce to you Kelly Sprout. Many of you have probably already met Kelly. He's been worshiping with us for several weeks. He's been a part of our live service on Sunday evenings. And he comes this morning. He would like to be a part of this fellowship by transfer of letter from Trinity Baptist in Asheville. And I was reminiscing with him of the beauty of God's creation in Asheville. But he's coming this morning. If you will pray for him, encourage him. Would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right, buddy. We're delighted. And we want to give you an opportunity following the benediction and the response to come speak with Kelly. I also want to give you a word of instruction. There's going to be a few things happening here. Kelly will be here to speak with you. There also will be some movement here right behind me. They'll be taking these tables out and getting set for the wedding. If you're a guest with us here this morning, and would like to stay for the wedding, you're certainly welcome to do so. But if you had not planned to do so, that's perfectly okay. As people are moving around, give you an opportunity to exit. We're delighted that you were here with us. If you are not able to stay and be a part of the wedding, you can also be a part or join them as they leave this afternoon. We invite you back this afternoon, but you don't have to stay for the wedding if you don't want to, I guess. Right, Dennis? Is that okay with you? All right. Dennis is okay with that. He's not taking names, so it's all right. All right. But, and so then at the conclusion of the setup for that, you'll hear the piano begin to play, and it will be obvious that we'll be beginning the wedding ceremony. But I invite you now to join me in standing for our benediction. Let's pray together. Dear Father, as your sheep, as your followers, we pray for obedience on our part, faithfulness, because, Father, we know that you are the good shepherd and you desire for us to have life and to have it more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.